Well, a few moments ago, we heard the account of the birth of Jesus Christ as recorded in the Gospel of Matthew. And there we read that after Joseph had discovered that Mary was pregnant before they came together, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, telling him that the child that had been conceived in her was from the Holy Spirit, and therefore that he should not be afraid to take Mary as his wife. And then we read that the angel said these words: "She will give birth to a son, and you are to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." This verse really is like a key that opens up the true meaning of Christmas. And if we don't understand this verse, we're going to miss what this is all about. There's a well-known Christmas carol called "What Child Is This?" You heard an instrumental version of it earlier. And this carol poses one of the most important questions that we can ask. Who is he? Who is this child? Why did he come? What is his purpose? And what does it mean for us? What does it mean for me? "What child is this who, laid to rest on Mary's lap, is sleeping? Whom angels greet with anthems sweet, while shepherds watch are keeping?" Well, the angel answers that question. It's significant that the angel told Joseph exactly what the name of this child to be born would be. Joseph wasn't allowed to name the baby, and neither was Mary. In fact, in the Gospel of Luke, Mary was told the same thing: you shall name him Jesus. This was God's command. Most parents don't appreciate being told what to name their kids. In fact, if you may try suggesting to parents what they should name their kid, and even those suggestions might not be taken well. Why? Because, well, this is our child, and so we're going to name this child. Thank you very much. Well, the fact that Joseph and Mary were not allowed to name this child was really saying that this child doesn't belong to you in the way that you would normally assume. There are a few instances in the Bible where God himself names the child that is to be born. For example, that was the case with Isaac, with Solomon, with Josiah, with John the Baptizer. And in every one of those cases, there was something about this child's destiny that was unique and no more important than this child, the destiny of this child that was born to Mary and Joseph. The angel says, "You are to name him Jesus." Now, Jesus is the Greek form of the Hebrew name for Joshua, Yeshua, in fact, which means Jehovah is salvation. And so, look, if you want to know Jesus for who he really is, not who we may want him to be, but if you want to know Jesus for who he really is, you have to start with knowing his name. I mean, that's how it is with every relationship, right? The way that we get to know someone, the very first thing is we get to know their name. You don't know somebody. You don't even begin to get to know somebody until you know their name. And with Jesus, if we truly want to know him, we need to know his name, that he is the one who came to save us from our sins. We're often tempted to kind of shape Jesus, press Jesus into our own mold. We're tempted to want a sort of a customized savior to save us from the most immediate pressing problems in our life. For example, we feel, many of us, I would think, if not most of us, feel that we want a savior to end this pandemic, right? Put an end to COVID. We want a savior for an overburdened healthcare system, or maybe some of us want a savior from just the inconvenience of these health orders, and maybe we want a savior who can make better decisions because we're not happy with some of the decisions that our government is making. Maybe some of us want a savior from left-leaning ideologies or right-leaning politics. Maybe we need a savior from financial problems. Maybe we need a savior from family strife. Maybe what we really want is, Jesus, if I could just have Christmas with all my family members, all of us together in one place, all of us having a good time, all of us getting along. Maybe we need a savior from problems in our job. Maybe we need a savior from loneliness or anxiety or depression. You know, at the time of Jesus' birth, sometimes when we read the Gospels, we idealize this time, forgetting that they had the same problems that we do. God's people lived at that time during the birth of Christ in a deeply troubled world full of violence and political oppression. There was a census. That was inconvenient. That was a government order. And it messed with people's lives. It train wrecked their lives. That's when Jesus came into this world. There was political unrest. There was disease. And there was death. And God cared about every one of these problems that his people face, just like he cares about your problems. He cares about whatever problem you face. But here's the truth. All of these problems, all the pains and hardships and frustrations, and even death itself can be traced back to one problem, and that's the problem of sin. And the curse that God invoked upon this world because of our rebellion against him. You heard these words earlier. We sang the carol, Joy to the World, which says, no more let sins and sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings flow far as the curse is found. When Jesus Christ returns a second time, it will be to reverse the curse. It will be to redeem the world, that his blessings will flow all over this earth. But the first time that he came to deal with our deepest and most serious problem from which all other problems come, and that is the problem of sin. What is sin? We've got to know what that is if we're going to understand Christmas, if we're going to understand the angel's words. To sin is to break God's laws in our thoughts, our attitudes, our actions. To sin is to fail to love God with all of our being. It's the failure to love our neighbor as ourself. It's finding our deepest happiness and our deepest identity in something or someone other than God. It's the failure to live up to our name as human beings made in the image and likeness of God. And the bad news is that every single one of us is guilty of it. Every single one of us is guilty of sin. And every one of us, as the scripture says, will give account to God for our lives. And because of our sin, will face his righteous judgment against our sin. That's the bad news. But there's good news. This is the good news of Christmas, is that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was born into this world to rescue us from not only the penalty of our sin, but its power, its hold over us in our lives. You know, the second verse of What Child Is This speaks to this very purpose for which Jesus was born. It reads, nails, spear shall pierce him through, the cross be born for me, for you. Hail, hail, the Word made flesh. Echoing those words from the Gospel of John that we heard read for us. Hail, hail, the Word made flesh, the babe, the Son of Mary. That's why Jesus was born. To live a sinless life, to die a sinner's death, to rise in triumph, to redeem us from the curse. To redeem us for eternal life, and ultimately one day to return for his people, for those who trust in him. if you and I want to be saved from our sins, because that's what the angel said that Jesus was born for, if we want to be saved from our sins, it begins with not only knowing Jesus' name, though you do need to know his name, it means that we need to trust in his name. It means looking to Jesus alone, not yourself, not your own goodness, not your own record of good deeds. It means trusting in Jesus Christ alone to save you, to do what you could never do for yourself. And when we trust in Jesus, we are promised that we will be saved, not only from the penalty of sin that stands against us, but also the power of sin over us, and then finally, one day, even the presence of sin in us. We'll be saved from that. You might not know that the carol I mentioned, "What Child Is This?" was written in 1865 by an English writer named William Chatterton Dix. And at the age of 29, he developed a life-threatening illness which caused him to be bedridden for several months. And during that time, he went into a deep depression. And yet out of that painful experience, he wrote a poem called "The Manger Throne," from which three stanzas were taken and set to the traditional tune, "Greensleeves," and then retitled as "What Child Is This?" So it was at one of the most, if not the most, dark and painful times of his life that he was able to arrive at an answer to the question that carol asks. What child is this? And he came to write these words, This is Christ the King, whose shepherds guard and angels sing, haste, haste to bring him laud, the babe, the son of Mary. Whatever you're facing in your life right now, if you know and trust in the name of Jesus Christ, you have a reason to sing. You have a reason for hope. You have a reason to worship him. You have a reason to celebrate him no matter what is happening in your life. Why? Because you have a Savior. Because your sins are forgiven. And because you have a Savior that was not only born for you, but suffered and died for you and rose again for you and is coming back for you and will never leave you or forsake you. If you've never trusted in his name, you might know his name, but if you've never trusted in the name of Jesus, what's holding you back? I mean, in a world of hopelessness, where are you going to find hope? In a world of darkness, where are you going to find light? In a world of death, where are you going to find eternal life? Whose voice will you listen to when all other words ring hollow? Who are you going to look to redeem your eternal soul? Who will you rely on to save you from the sin that condemns you that you can't escape? Listen to these words from the angel. These are words from heaven, words from God himself, spoken roughly 2,000 years ago, and they ring no less true in this moment. She will give birth to a son, and you are to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Who are his people? Those who turn to him and trust in him and truly call upon the name of Jesus. Let's take a moment to reflect together on that name, on who he is and why he came, the Son of God who was born to save us from our sins.